All right, so they say there are two people in this world. I don't know if you ever do those tests online, like what kind of person are you? For instance, you are either a Coke person or a Pepsi person. Let me see your hands. How many of you would say you're a Coke person? How many of you would say you're a Pepsi person? Interesting, kind of half and half. How many of you would say you cut your sandwich in rectangles? How many are diagonal cuts? Oh, interesting. I did not know that about you. All right, there are Apple users, and there are Android users. There may be a rumble after church on that one. This is a thing. I don't know if you know it. Where you hang your toilet paper. Some people like it over the top. Some people like it under. I didn't even know this was a thing until I was roommates with Laura, and she would yell at me every time I put it under. I don't even look. There are morning people, and there are people who hate morning people. Are you? And there's people like, I'm paper all the way. Okay, interesting. My favorite illustration is from one of my favorite movies of all time, What About Bob? And Bob plays Bill Murray, and he says there's two people, kinds of people in this world, those who like Neil Diamond and those who don't. And it goes, my ex-wife, she loved him. I love Neil Diamond. Since it's football season, there was a coach named Bum Phillips. He's an old-time coach in the NFL. He actually passed away in 2013. And he said there's two different types of coaches in the world. There are two kinds of coaches, them that's fired and them that's gonna be fired. Right? And on the same line this morning, if he was here to talk, there's two kinds of people in this room right now. Them that's been hurt and them that's gonna be hurt. Here's the thing, guys. Hurt happens, and it hurts a lot. And I mean, not to throw the blame game out, but you know, it really does go all the way back to when sin came into the world. Adam and Eve, right? Right? They brought this. And you know, I always tell you, if they wouldn't have done it, one of us would have done it over there, right? And what happened is when Adam and Eve sinned, it brought us a broken world. When sin entered the world, life changed. What was once perfect became tainted. Just like the cleanest pool in the world gets tainted when someone pees in it, right? Or you can have the best chicken dinner in the world and if salmonella comes in, it's not good anymore, right? Romans 5:12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone for everyone's sin. That's pee in the pool, right? That's bad chicken. Sin brought death and disease and weeds and lust and immoralities and lies and conflict and scary animals and shame and regret and bad weather and sin natures. We live in a broken world, therefore, it's gonna hurt a lot. 2 weekends ago here in Chicago, you read the news, 8 were killed, 40 were injured by gunfire. And that's not just on the south or west sides. One of the shootings was right here in West Rogers Park. Right? And I know the news is all up in arms about, look at our numbers compared to New York City. Look at our numbers compared to LA. Look at our numbers compared to last year. But look at our numbers and the amount of lives that were just hurt. Every person that was shot, every person that was killed was either a mom or dad or had kids or a brother or a sister or somebody's baby. That's a lot of hurt. Numbers tell us that every 2 minutes in the United States, someone is sexually assaulted. That's a lot of hurt. Numbers tell us that 49% of kids in grades 3 through 12 are bullied regularly. That's a lot of hurt. Numbers tell us that 15% of high schools are electronically bullied all the time. That's a lot of hurt. Statistics tell us that 1 in 3 women have been domestically in violence, domestically abused or hit. 1 in 4 men have been in a domestic violence situation. Hunger, poverty, violence, divorce, abuse, neglect, terrorism, war, disease. That's a lot of hurt, right? And this next set of statistics are going to alarm you. It is 10 out of 10. That's 100% of people in America will die one day. Yes, 100%. You will die one day. Do you know what that means? You're going to lose your parents. Your parents are going to die. You're going to lose loved ones. Sometimes it's going to be unexpected. Sometimes it's going to be expected. We should not be surprised that this world is full of hurt. And it hurts a lot. It wasn't a surprise to Jesus. Look what Jesus said in John 16:33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart because I have overcome the world. Here on earth you'll have what? Many what?
Trials.
And? You are going to hurt. Jesus, he sees hurts. I mean, Jesus sees your hurts before you even knew it was coming. Before you even knew it was anywhere in the horizon, Jesus knew it was coming. He knew the hurt was coming. And when Jesus was here on earth, what did he do? What did he do? He hung out with people who were hurting. He was living among the impoverished. He touched and spoke with lepers and social outcasts and widows. He fed the hungry. He cast out demons and those who were being tortured. He sat with people mourning the death of their children and their brothers and their fathers. And he himself experienced rejection and ridicule and torture and death. That's a lot of hurt. So no truer words are, here on this earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. You know, Jesus, when he said this, he was speaking to like the Bible time version of us. He was saying it to those who knew he was the Messiah. So if we live during this lifetime, it's a good chance that maybe he would have been talking to us. We would have been hearing these words directly to him, from him. And the interesting thing, he leaves no room here. It's not like some of you are going to go through some trials. Few of you are going to go through some sorrows. He pretty much encompasses, you're going to go through some hurts. You are going to experience some trials. You are going to go through some sorrows. There's no escaping it. Have you ever met somebody who looks like they have it all together? Right? You see them and you're like, man, that person has a problem-free life. I mean, they look healthy. They look like they've never struggled with money before. They're popular. People love to be around them. They're confident. Their relationships seem so great. Everything seems so wonderful. And maybe you even said to a friend of yours, wish life dealt me the hand he got, huh? He's got everything together. I wish my life was like hers. She always seems to be so happy. She always seems like she has it all together. And then you hear something about that person. You hear, oh, her son has cancer. Oh, his wife left him. Oh, he suffers depression. Oh, she battles a horrible addiction. Oh, that kid who's the star on the football team, he's been living in a foster home for 3 years. She lost her job. His parents fight all the time, and sometimes his dad hits him. Oh, that guy, he ripped both of his quad muscles when he fell down. You say, what? You know, you're shocked. Really? Them? That person that seems like they have it all together? It's not easy for them? I know this is going to sound so silly to you, but the very first time we heard about Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt breaking up, right? And it was a real deal. I thought to myself, huh? Like, he left, huh? Like, I was shocked anything could happen to her, you know? She looked like she had it all going on. If Brad Pitt left her, would he ever leave me? You know what? It shocked me. I'm really honest about this. It did. But hurt, pain, disappointment, heartache, loss, insecurities, rejection, Northside, statistics don't lie. Either you have been hurt, you are hurting, or you will be hurt because no one is a stranger to hurt. It says here on this earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Now here's the thing. If we all agree that hurt happens to everyone, that it's inevitable, why don't we like to share our hurts? We have a common ground. I think I just based the proof of it. We have a common ground. Why is it so hard for us to share our hurts? I mean, we can easily brag about the bones we broke playing sports or show the scars from our surgeries or talk about the crazy stunts we survived as kids or teens or college student. But to tell other people we're hurting? Not cool, right? Makes us seem weak. That's just not something we do. Some of you were born into families where it is just plain wrong to share any type of hurt, right? I was born into a family like that. And it's interesting because when I went home, you know, my dad had a heart attack 2 years ago. And I went home and he was in a coma in the hospital. His brothers came to the hospital. And for the first time ever, I kind of heard my dad's story of growing up. Like I knew my my dad's dad died when my dad was 8. My dad was the oldest of 3 brothers. He had Eddie who was, my dad who was 8, Hubie, Neil who was 4, and Eddie who was 2. And when the dad died, it made my grandma so sad, so off the chart, that she went into a mental institution. Now in the 50s, a mental institution wasn't that great of a place to be in. And it pretty much meant there was really no hope for you. Now, I didn't know all that. So really, when it comes down to my dad at age 8 and his brothers lost both of his parents. Then the story gets worse, but nobody ever talks about it, right? And I always wondered why my uncles were a little off. I hope they're not listening online, but they are, right? My dad gets to move in with his grandparents in Canada. So my dad, my grandparents, his grandparents take my dad. But his other 2 brothers have to go to an orphanage in Buffalo, right? Never knew that because we don't talk about these things. Had to go to an orphanage in Buffalo. It gets worse. The orphanage sets fire, gets on fire, and they have to be rescued from the orphanage, and then they're displaced in foster homes. I thought, why didn't we ever share these hurts with each other? It made me want to just go hug my uncles. It made me want to understand that I understand why things aren't so easy in your family. I'm actually surprised you're doing so well with growing up with something like that. Deep, painful hurts, but we don't share them. Now, whether you were born into a family that just does not share, or you learned it because that's kind of what the world does, we wear masks to hide our hurts. I'm fine. Good. Why is it so hard for us to show our hurts? You know, and our hurts don't have to be astronomical in size. It doesn't have to be a story like my family's of losing both your parents and then an orphanage burning down. It doesn't have to be like that. It can be in all shapes and sizes. Think of a paper cut. Hurts like the Dickens, right? It's just a paper cut. Hurts are like that too. It could be a small hurt. It could be a nuisance of a hurt. It could be something that happened today. It could be something from your past. It can be the hurt that someone didn't keep a promise that they made to you, and that really hurt you. It could be that you're in a relationship or you have a relationship and you haven't talked to someone in a long time and it hurts. You're estranged and that's a hurt that you're feeling. It could be that you have a hurt because you're worried about your adult child or your teenager and it's just hurting you. It could be that you're a teen and you're stressed about your grades and your grades are hurting you. It could be over a breakup. If you're a teenager out there and you go through a breakup, don't let anyone tell you, oh, that's just kid love, it doesn't hurt. It hurts. Breakups hurt. Job losses hurt. It attacks who you think you are and your abilities, right? And maybe you hate Sundays because you know that the next day you got to go back to school or go back to work and it just hurts you because you hate the job that you're in or you hate what things are like at school. It's a feeling like that. You know, you could be hurting over an event that happened in your childhood. You could be hurting because someone called you a name and it really made you think about that about yourself. Do people think that about me? Is that what people think about me? Am I that person? You might be facing the holidays coming up with a loved one that passed away this year, and you don't know how you're going to deal with the hurt come time for the holidays, right? And you may be sitting here and saying, yeah, I'm hurting. So what? I'm fine. Nobody needs to know my business. Nobody needs to know that I'm hurting, right? Well, that is a mask of self-deception that you have put on, that nobody needs to know you're hurt. We were never meant to hurt alone. We were never meant to hurt alone. That's why today we are going to be honest about our hurts. We're going to drop the mask that hides the hurt because we were never meant to hurt alone. Right? Because there's hope. Not only did Jesus tell you that there's going to be hurts and know what those hurts were going to be, it says, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Amen. Say that with me. Take heart because I have overcome the world. The world covers it all. So you may be thinking, well, maybe he didn't take over my thing because my thing's very specific to me. But this world here is translated cosmos, and it means the orderly arrangement in a wide or narrow sense, including its inhabitants, literally or figuratively. That means the world and everything in the world. You take your hurt right now, it's covered in the cosmos. It's the world. And Jesus said, I have overcome that. That's where the hope is. Amen. That's why we can put our heart into the hope of the man who said, the God who said, he has overcome it. He's conquered it, right? He's prevailed over it. That's why there's hope. Take heart, because the one we put our hope in has overcome the hurt. He has overcome the pain, the heartache, the loss, the insecurities, the rejection, the addictions, the abuse, the betrayal, the worry, and even death itself. Sin brought this hurt, but Jesus brought the victory. Look at this. For the sin of this one man, Adam, sorry Adam, but yeah, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ, right? Christ overcame death. He conquered it. Our earthly bodies still die, but there is life 2.0, right? There is life beyond the grave for the believers. We don't go to sleep and never wake up. We receive Christ's forgiveness that he gave us on the cross. We are given eternal life, and therefore we can say this. These little troubles are getting us ready for an eternal glory that will make all of our troubles seem like nothing. All of them. Hard to digest in the middle of a hurt cycle, but all of them. Here's the main point. We find hope, healing, and comfort in God because Jesus has overcome the world. You ever seen a child playing at the park, right? Playing at the park or playing outside and they fall down or they get scared or a dog nips at them. What do? They run to their mom or their dad or their caregiver. They run to them because they are convinced that's where the hope is. They're convinced that that's the person that's going to fix it, right? And when they get to mom or dad, they don't play cool. I'm fine. Nothing's wrong. I have no hurts. They let it out, right? They let it out. I'm scared. I'm hurt. That dog, he pushed me. They air it all out because that person that they're running to, they know they can hop. They can hop into their arms. People are getting angry. They can hop into their arms. They can crawl into the lap. They can put their arms around him, and they're going to make it okay. They're going to figure it out. And this is exactly what God does for us. He's our heavenly Father. Make no excuse that God is that how God described him. He is our heavenly Father. He's got big arms. He's got a big lap. And he's ready for you to jump into it and tell him all that's going on. Not being like, I'm okay. I got nothing wrong with me, God. He wants to hear it. He wants you to jump in his lap. Psalm 62:8 says, oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Amen. First step, you want to get rid of the mask that hides your hurt? You got to go to Jesus, right? He already knows, right? Jesus, I hate my job. Jesus, I feel alone. Jesus, my wife hurts my feelings all the time. Jesus, I feel like a horrible student. Jesus, I'm ashamed. Jesus, I'm messed up. Jesus, I'm scared. My body hurts. God, I miss my mom. I miss my dad. God, I can't handle my father's Alzheimer's. My childhood is haunting me. I'm being abused. I'm neglected. I feel rejected. My career is failing. I'm scared for my children. I feel betrayed. I feel let down. I feel lonely. I feel guilty. God, I'm hurting. Whoosh. You take that to Jesus. And the very first thing you do is you acknowledge what it is. You acknowledge what it is. You have these papers with you today? Yeah. We're going to get very real today. These will not be shown. These will not be looked at. I will never see them. The only way I'll see them if you leave them here, but I will then rub them up and throw them in the trash without looking. You're going to acknowledge what your hurt is. Acknowledge what your hurt is. This is step one of letting go of the mask. What's your hurt? You know, what comes to mind? If you don't have one, we'll find you one. So if you want to raise your hand, if you don't have one, we'll get one to you. All right? I want you to write it down. Don't second guess yourself. Maybe one or two things come to mind. It could be something from your childhood. It could be a memory. It could be a tragedy. It could be a current situation that you're in that's caused you hurt. I want you to write it down. It may feel small to you, but I want you to write it down. I told you no one's going to look at your paper. This is not going to be one of those campfires where you come up and share it. It's just not. I want you to acknowledge to God what your hurt is. We're taking off masks. You know, it may be a specific feeling and you don't even have like an event to it. It could be that you don't feel loved and that's your hurt. You don't know why, you just don't feel loved. It could be that you feel betrayed. You don't know why, but you just feel betrayed. It could feel like you're a bad parent. You don't know why, you just feel that way. Maybe you feel God's let you down and you're kind of ticked at him. That's your wound. Write it down. You know, someone of you have never ever told anybody in the world what your hurt is, right? Maybe you're embarrassed or you're ashamed. Maybe something happened to you, but it wasn't your fault. But you've been carrying that. Write it down. Be free of it today. Acknowledge the hurt that you are feeling and take off the mask. After you write it, you may feel a little better. You may feel a lot better. You might feel worse. But it's something that you need to do. In order to overcome the hurt, you got to start with acknowledging what the hurt is. You need to go to your Heavenly Dad. All right. Here's the truth about John 8:32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you, what's that last word?
Free.
Taking off the mask is about being free. Step two, or one, because it's just as important, God heals through his presence. You know,
amen.
Often, you know, we try we recognize the hurt, we may share the hurt with someone, and then we try to handle it on our own, right? We try to deal with it on our own. Instead of running into the arms of our Heavenly Father and just acknowledging it, we either try to numb it or ignore it. Numb it could be that glass of wine when you get home, could be some drugs. Cutting was a big thing. It could be overeating, partying, shopping. It could be some not right relationships that you're in. That could be numbing it. Or you can ignore it. You can overwork. You can over TV. You can overread. You can overexercise. You can oversleep, overvolunteer. Really, really busy yourself, right? You can overgo to one of your friends. You just always use that person as your source. That's a form of ignoring it. What do? You know yourself. Sometimes it depends on the situation, you know. You might get in a fight with your mother, you might go to the wine, you might be in a fight with your wife, you might head to the gym. What do? Do you ignore it? Do you numb it? What's your drug of choice? Write it down. Because remember, we're taking the masks off. We all sometimes don't realize we're numbing it, and we don't realize that we're ignoring it. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the presence of the Almighty God is far better than anything we can use to deal with our hurts. The presence of the Almighty God is better than any way we can choose to deal with our own hurts. Psalm 46:1 says this. Actually, I want you to read this with me because it's powerful. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Read the next one. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. How about this next one? Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Let that soak in. That's the presence of God. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to read this one to you. Romans 8 says this. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that, right? Right? But how do you get into the presence of God? How do you get there? The same one way you would with anyone. Hey, Corey, come here. Yvonne, I want to talk to you. Chris, can you fix this? Right? God wants to be with us. He's a jealous God. He wants to be ever present in your life. So you just have to call on him. You have to take his refuge. You have to take his shelters. You got to allow him to bandage up your wounds, right? And you can find him here at Northside, but guess what? You can find him outside of Northside. You can find him in your homes. You can find him out in nature. You can find him anywhere. He's like green eggs and ham. He is everywhere, right? Because his presence is through the Holy Spirit. He never leaves you. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. You have him with you. But you say, sometimes, Carrie, I don't feel the presence of God. I just don't feel him. I know this. I know I've accepted Jesus into my life, but I don't feel him. Here's my guess. There's something that's standing in the way. There is a wedge. There's something of disobedience, because James 4:8 tells us, come close to God and he will come close to you. He is not going to run away from you because you want to be with him. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. If you don't feel God's presence, it's most likely you've made the world your God. And you feel the presence of the world more than you feel the presence of God. Because he promises us. He promises us. If we draw near to him, he is going to draw near to us. Right? You want the strongest connection to him? You call out his name and you tell him you want that connection. You tell him you want whatever's in between you and him out of there. He's going to get rid of it. That's what he did on the cross for all that stuff, right? You will find his presence. And God heals through his presence. So you have on your papers, all right? I have a spot on there. It says, I draw near to you, God. Forgive me for, what is it that's constantly kind of gotten in the way between you and God? It could be busyness. It could be your own desires. It could be a relationship you're in that you shouldn't be in. It could be your pride. It could be so many things. Write it down. You probably know. It's a thing that you've put before God. So I draw near to God, to you, God. Forgive me for blank. I want to be in your presence. There is healing in God's presence. There is healing. Final step, which is equally as important as the first two, that's why it's number one, is God heals us through his people. You know, it's a lot easier to take off our mask with God. You know, it's a lot easier to say, God, this is my hurt, than it is to say, hey, brother and sister in Christ, hey, mom and dad, hey, sweetheart, this is my hurt, right? Because when it comes to hurt, for some reason, we don't like to be the one who needs help. We'd rather be the one that helps. So we're okay with friends coming to us with a hurt, but we're uncomfortable with us going to them, right? But God was so smart. Not only did he give us his presence through the Holy Spirit, he knew that we were going to need to touch and feel and hug and have that pat on the back, right, to comfort us. So he designed us as one body. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, but we all belong to each other. If you are hurting, I am hurting. If he is hurting, she is hurting, right? If that leg is broken, somebody else has to put a little bit more weight onto their legs, right? The idea is, as a body of Christ, we hurt together. When one of us hurts, all of us hurts. Romans 12:15 says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. And 2 Corinthians 1 says this, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. He probably could have done that in one verse because it's very repetitive in all its sayings. But the point is, Christ comforts me, I comfort you. Christ comforts you, you comfort me. The more hurts we have, the more comfort that comes. It's that feeling of, I got you. I got you. I may not know what it's like to lose a child, but I got you, right? You may not know what it means to go through a divorce, but I got you. You might not know what it means to suffer through a very hard decision in life, but he's got you. This idea is, we have each other. I got you, right? God heals through the presence of his people, because God's people need to be praying for one another, right? James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. A lot of times when you say confess your sins to each other, a lot of times it's confessing your hurts to each other. We're telling each other our hurts, and then we're praying for one another. And then the next part of that, because it's not just prayer, though prayer is great, it's sharing each other's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. This may mean meals. This may mean visits. This may mean taking care of somebody's kids, or just listening to somebody, or cutting each other's lawn, or cleaning their bathrooms, or giving some money, or just sitting next to somebody that's hurting, right? We share each other's burdens. Your experience of healing and hurt may be exactly what that person two rows down from you right now needs. Your story of what you went through and the hurt that you felt may be that exact story somebody else needs. But guess what? They're never going to know it if you don't take your mask off. They're going to never know that you hurt like she hurts and she hurts like he hurts, because we all think everyone's great. Everyone's great. They don't have any problems. We were never meant to hurt alone. So on your paper, who are you going to talk to? Who are you going to take your hurt to? Write someone down. Don't cop out. We've already talked to God about it, right? This is now the body of Christ. Don't say Holy Spirit, still God. Don't say Jesus, still God. All right? Who are you going to take your hurt to? It needs to be another believer, because they need to go and intervene for prayer for you. Who are you going to share your burden with? Write that name down. This is who you're going to unmask to. And this is how God designed the body of believers to work. The next part of that, though, is who are you going to pray for? And who are you going to share someone's burdens with? You know somebody who's hurting. Come on now, right? As much as we try to be great actors and actresses, we're not. People know when we're hurting, right? We're pretty much bad fakers. So who is it that you see? Do you see a fellow Northsider hurting? See a family member, friend, a neighbor, your child? Who is it that you see hurting? I challenge you. I want you to be a part of the body of Christ the way God designed us to be. And I want you to faithfully start praying for that person. You don't need to know all their details, but you can start carrying some of their burdens. Maybe you bring them a sandwich. Everyone loves a sandwich, you know? Maybe you volunteer to watch their kids one day. Maybe you drive them to a doctor's appointment. Maybe you just sit and listen to them. Carry and share someone's burden. You know, you were never meant to hurt alone, but it's time to take off the masks. Everybody hurts. Jennifer Aniston hurts, all right? Everybody hurts. Jesus told us it was going to happen. The world's messed up, but he also told us that he's overcome the world. So we're going to take the victory he provides. So what you're going to do is you're going to acknowledge your hurt to God. You're going to get in his presence. You're going to let his people in. And you're going to go help somebody else. John 16:33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. Read the last part with me. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you don't play games pretending everything is hunky and dory when you become a Christian. Everything just lines up perfectly and there's no concerns whatsoever. That's not what this world is like. This world is full of hurt and heartache. It is messed up. But your world tells us that everything in that world has been overcome by you. That you are victorious. That you are the answer to our hurt, our rejection, our neglect, our painful memories, our insecurities. the words that people have spoken to us that told us that we were no good, that we were not lovable, that we were ugly, that we were dumb, that we weren't good friends, or good parents, or good children. All of those things you have overcome. You have overcome the loss of a loved one. You have overcome our addictions. You have overcome the betrayal that we have felt in a relationship. You have overcome our fears for what tomorrow brings. You have overcome our desires that we often try to hold on to make life seem better. You have overcome it all. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning that have a hurt that they've never shared with anyone. I thank you for their boldness to share it with you today. I thank you for their future boldness to share it with somebody. Lead them to the right person who knows you and will pray fervently for them. I pray for those who have been on the sidelines, maybe seeing a hurt, knowing a hurt. I know a name has come to mind for some people, that you would give them the courage to go to that person and say, I'm praying for you. I don't know what it is, but I am praying for you, and I want to help you through this. Whatever you need. Father, I pray that through this world that's messed up would get so much easier. Just in one little step, one little prayer, one little doing, and one relinquishing a hurt to you. That the truth that they experience today, Lord, would be so freeing to them. That the burden would just be gone. I pray this for my brothers and sisters, that they would experience the abundant life that you so promised us. Not just in eternity, but right here, this morning, this afternoon. We cast our cares and our hurts on you because you are the conqueror and the prevailer and victorious in all things. You have overcome the world, and we are so thankful for it. It's in your name we pray.